your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make dab in the middle of it. Rest make dab in the middle. We are. Rest make dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The Secret Truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler along with my co-host,
Charlotte Littlefield. Hello, George.
All right, Charlotte. We've got a program that we're dedicating to George Riley this evening, and we've got a good, excellent guest with us that went back pretty far with his knowledge and friendship with George Riley. And welcome to our program, Randall Mott.
Oh, hello. Just a pleasure to be with y'all. Y'all are something that I always listen to every Saturday.
Well, thank you, Randall. And you were a regular listener to George Riley's program, The Power Hour, were you not?
Oh, yes, yeah. I try to catch it every morning, and every once in a while I'd miss one, but I'd try to even go back on the archives.
Right.
He was just a hero of mine.
Right. Now, Randall, your friendship with George Riley goes back to around 1992. Tell us a little bit how that began and how that flowered into a very friendship that lasting for a long time.
Well, I really didn't know much about her other than she liked Ross Perot back in 1992, and she was a doer person. She was working on the campaign of Ross Perot, and kind of at the end of a crooked election that we lost that magical 19% to 22% when we were finding like 50%. Well, we said, okay, what do we do now? And we had probably about six people said, hey, let's listen to Chuck Harder on the shortwave, and let's start meeting. Let's not let this die, you know. So Joyce was one of the key people in that, and then she went ahead and did We the People, or For the People, with Chuck Harder several times, and started more and more getting active politically. And then she went to the Gulf War, and although she was not in the battle zone in Iraq, she was a nurse, a flight nurse with the Air Force, and bringing the wounded back. And she wound up getting Gulf War syndrome from probably the vaccinations, and that was we knew her then. And then I moved to Austin, but I stayed in touch with her, and she had black helicopters circling her house there, and we were invited to their wedding whenever her and Dave got married. And I still remember how she was excited over a three-hour long-distance phone call.
Really?
And,
okay.
Yeah, and so Dave came to Houston, and they got married in a simple ceremony, which we attended there at their home. And then Dave, I think, he was a DJ up in Cincinnati. I guess he had heard her on the Chuck Harder show.
Now, that's Dave Von Kleist, right? Dave Von Kleist.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
And Dave helped Joyce do a nursing show, and, of course, that was her claim to fame. She was a top-notch nurse with, I think, DeBakey in a heart transplant, which was the top of the heap there at in Houston. And anyhow, she had black helicopters almost sitting on top of their house, and so somewhere there they decided to sell out and move to Versailles, Missouri, where they started the Power Hour, and they traveled around in the U.S. In a bus that Dave had refurbished and painted with patriotic red, white, and blue, and so then I guess one of the key things, I think, is a video that we watched last night is Beyond Treason that is now on YouTube. And also Dave did 9/11 in plain sight after 9/11. And both of these are foundational DVDs that everyone should see. So if you haven't seen any of those, either of those, well, those are two to see, and give them legs, send them to other people. But
go ahead.
They did get a divorce. They, I guess, grew apart, and I know how that is. I've done that myself. So
okay.
Dave is. Came through Austin and did three appearances here, and Joyce has come to Truth Seekers meetings, and the last time I think I saw Joyce actually live is the Tex Mars, April the 10th, 2010, which is 7 years ago, Liberty and Truth Conference, and But she was always my hero, and she was always a truth seeker. She was always seeking the truth, and, she may not be with us, but she won't be forgotten. So it's a sad day, and it's a happy day, because I know that she doesn't have the pain, and she's with the Lord now. So
right. She was very religious, wasn't she, Randall? Very, very religious lady.
Yeah, more and more. I'm sure that... I think she talked about her family. Growing up, she wasn't raised that much with religion, but she found that religion worked, and it was something that. But I wouldn't swear to that. But it was something that she definitely was into now, and she. I guess one word summarizes her life, and that is love, and love for God, and love for the truth.
She really loved the truth, didn't she? She went after it very aggressively, did she not?
Yeah, well, I guess as a nurse and as a accomplished nurse, she went through some things, the Janine Jones thing in San Antonio before I knew her, that, Janine Jones was a nurse that was, I guess, mercy-killing babies. And so that was not, and she didn't blow the whistle on it soon enough to save some of them. So that prompted Joyce to have kind of a guilt trip. But at the same time, Joyce is one of them that blew the whistle on Janine Jones and the overdoses of drugs and things like that for these little infants. And then they kind of covered up for her at the hospital, and then she went to work in Kerrville, and they started seeing the same pattern in Kerrville as they did at Bexar County Hospital in San Antonio. So that prompted her to always be seeking the truth and be a whistleblower. And, that adversity made her a much better person, I'm sure. So, but she was always a good nurse.
Right. I've talked to people that knew her in Houston, and they told me that they were nursing down there also at the same time, and they said she was an excellent nurse. And she also flew on those C-130 flights back from the Persian Gulf, did she not? with some of these injured people and wounded, soldiers and so forth. But one of her main things, she really took up for the veterans, didn't she? She really did.
Absolutely. Well, she saw how she was treated by the government and the VA, and so she, you know, they said it was psychological, PTSD and all this stuff, and, you know, she was dying, and she came in contact with the Nichols out of Houston that were researchers at Baylor, and they found the and I met them through her on her radio program, and they found the Mycoplasma incognitus, which is not a virus and not a bacteria. It's in between, but the doctors don't know to look for it, and nor do the labs. And so that's what she was suffering from. And now it is catching. It could. She could have caught it from some of the servicemen that she was on the C-130s flying the wounded back from Iraq. So anyhow, she's done more in her lifetime than five other people could have done. You know what I mean? And yet it's always been, the truth was always the bottom line, you know, and there were times that she was a very strong personality, and I was kind of leading the For the People group there in Houston after the 92, and I don't know how long that lasted, but then I don't even know when I moved to here to Austin, but then we did Texas Best, and then we did Y2K, and now we have Truth Seekers, and so we've been doing that a long time, but basically, I've been active ever since 92, and Joyce went up there to Versailles, and she was active with the Power Hour, and which we were supportive of the Power Hour, because she was doing so much good things. So anyhow, it's with a sad heart that we have lost her. And at the same time, I'm sure if anybody's deserving to have God's grace, she's got it. So,
right.
You know, I think anybody can, well, you can even watch that Beyond Treason. And she had, I think, three or five top-ranking military-type people in the back row up there, and they said something about, are you sure that this is the truth, or is this fabricated or something? And so she called them out. She said something like, do you find anything I say to be erroneous or fabricated? If so, you tell me. Otherwise, my facts stand. And they got up and walked out.
Right. Well, she used documents a lot of times, government documents, to prove her point, you know, as facts.
Right.
And that's where.
And there were.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And they knew that she could be trusted. A lot of people, a lot of the military that had the documents forwarded them to her in a blank brown envelope. And, you know, here's 129 pages of some kind of document. Here's the Regal Report, or here's this. And she kept those documents, and I'm sure all of that is still online, and will be available at the Power Mall or the Power I don't know if it's Power Nation now.
I checked that out, and what's happened, I think that's the new name. If you go in and put in the powerhour.com, it's going to forward it automatically to the powerhournation.com. And I think that's the new name of the new site that they're carrying on her work on, okay?
Yeah, I think so. And it's always been... as I kidded her one time when I introduced her at an event, I said, I'd always want to wake up with Joyce Riley.
Right. Well, you woke up in Houston together, didn't you, to a lot of these problems, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was the Ross Perot that brought us together. And,
right.
Ross Perot woke up a lot of people, even though he didn't tell all of the that he knew, but as a matter of fact, not too many people know that Donald Trump was a Ross Perot supporter.
Okay.
And so he kind of woke up, I think, right along with Ross Perot. And,
okay.
So that funny guy with the big ears, he did more to wake up the nation as to the corruption that we were under.
Right. Yeah, that
and
that,
it would have been worse if we'd have Hillary.
Right, that for sure. Now, Charlotte Littlefield Brown, what are your impressions of Joyce Riley, and what are some of your ideas that listening to her and things like that? Tell us a little bit about how she affected your life.
Right. Well, I really come to know about Joyce when the 9/11 In Plain Sight documentary was released. And, of course, that led me to her work in Beyond Treason, which was very educational. And it made me question things that I previously hadn't crossed my mind, I hadn't thought of as a veteran. And I never did meet her. However, because you and I went on the radio, of course, she was always more popular and reached a wider audience than I did, but I viewed her as a role model and as somebody that was out there doing it in the free market to get to the truth of the true of what has transpired in our government and in our tragedies.
Right. And so then you went on the air with me, in 2006? I think we were both motivated.
Right.
You know, there was a 1992 meeting at Camp Mabry that you used to be stationed at, right, in the service?
Correct, yes, I was. But not that year, for sure.
But you were not only a NCO, but you were an officer later, right?
Or was I there that year?
So you did some things.
I can't remember
which
year I was
there. Well, not exactly on that year.
Yeah, I did a lot of different
things. But, I mean, you were stationed at Camp Mabry, I know. And so did your career, was it in, were things like this in your life important for putting you forward in your career and your field of interest in broadcasting or what?
Absolutely. Joyce made me feel comfortable seeking my own information about things. Joyce made it feel like it was almost my duty.
Right.
to make sure that we were taking care of people and that the veterans come first and that people's health and well-being wasn't going to be pushed under the rug and wasn't going to be set aside in priorities. I thought she was a wonderful spokesmovement for the 9/11 truth movement and for truth. You know, she just had a way of bringing up topics that were compelling and really got your attention. And she was a very honorable person, and you know where she stood on things. So you didn't necessarily have to guess which way she'd go on something because she was a person of great character.
Yeah, you know, you knew where Joyce Riley stood, didn't you? Huh?
Right, yeah.
I mean, she put forward her opinion and backed it up in most cases, all that I've ever seen her, with facts and documents and things like that. And she was very, very careful about her, and she was guarded. Wasn't she pretty guarded about statements she made, Randall Monk?
Yeah, she was careful with what she said, but at the same time, you knew where she stood. And speaking of that, one of the only people that I can ever remember hearing her say that they did the right thing for the right reason. She was talking about the vets, even though she didn't believe in all of the missions, all of the wars, but she did believe that the vets were doing the right thing for the right reasons. So I thought that that was so, I guess, unique that she would take that approach. And I know I had trouble. I wasn't in the military. God got me out of Vietnam.
Right.
But I'm thankful for that, because I don't think I could have handled it.
Right.
And then I probably couldn't handle it after I got back, just as many soldiers have done afterwards. But Joyce was always the vet was right. Let's protect the vet. They did it for the right reasons. Let's help them.
Right.
So it was incredible, and there won't be another Joyce Riley. There might be some that'll come close, but she was very unique and very loved. She was loved by all of her listeners.
Right. Now, Charlotte, you were in the service for how long? How many years?
I think a total of 14, George, 14. When it all adds up. So, mostly Navy and Army.
Okay, you started out in the Navy, and then you switched over to the
right.
Army, right? Okay.
That's right. Through the National Guard system, yeah.
Was that sort of the commonality you had with Joyce Riley in a way you were both a veteran, so to speak?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
No question about it. I felt comfortable with her as a veteran, supporting veterans no matter what. And, you know, it's like you, George, teaching me. This was around the time when I learned about the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and I had been talking, using my words inaccurately. And Joyce was very good about, you know, standing up for people like me.
Right. When we flew out of, and this gets back to the 9/11 thing that Dave Von Kleist did, and but Joyce and him did that together. But when we were flying out, Charlotte Littlefield Brown and I were flying out of Washington D.C. from National one morning before sunrise, and I looked out the window and saw the Pentagon out to my left through my window. And I was noticing that the pentagonal shape was a little bit irregular on the southwest corner. Well, I went back to Austin, flew back to Austin, then I looked that up, and that was the memorial that they had built down there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I attached it in that area, and they had lighted it at night. That's why the pentagonal shape was irregular, because that additional memorial was lighted, see? And so,
was it a veterans memorial?
It was for the attack on the Pentagon.
The Pentagon attack.
Yeah,
okay.
See,
that's fine. Yeah, I didn't know.
And so that's where Dave Von Kleist and Joyce Riley uncovered the fact that where is the plane and the parts that are supposed to be out there in that area? See, I mean, if a plane did, you know, crash into the Pentagon, and that's what that 9/11 in plain sight documentary was about. See, there should have been a much more debris field and things like that. And so, is that what sort of woke you up to, Randall?
Yeah, well, I was awake before that, and when I saw the first tower fall symmetrically down in its footprint,
right,
I said, you know, there ain't no way that an airplane hitting it from the side, that it would fall straight down like a demolition.
Right.
And then when the second one did this very same thing, and not only that, I think it was the second one that leaned over 22.5 degrees and then straightened back up and fell right in its footprint. 2 out of 2, ain't no way.
Right.
You
right.
know.
Well, do you remember?
Then,
you know, go ahead.
Then building 7.
Yeah. Right.
Same thing fell in its footprint. So, and, you know, out here in the real world, hardly anybody knows about Building 7.
Right, right.
So that's what we need to stress. That and the Pentagon, you know.
Right.
You take a 6-ton engine on both wings, and the fuselage is over about 24 foot, and it made a 14-foot hole in the building before the roof collapsed in.
Right.
That reminds me of a friend of mine. Is he says, "Don't urinate on my boots and tell me it's raining."
Right, right, right. Well, do you remember? I don't know if you do. We met over at a local restaurant within days after 9/11, and there were people putting forward the idea that the jet fuel could have never melted the steel frame of that building enough to cause it to collapse. And
I remember that.
Yeah, that was just within days after the 9/11. We were out on the porch of this restaurant in South Austin.
No. Well, no, I don't remember that. I couldn't have been there.
Okay, so...
I remember meeting Randall, though.
Right. Well, we sat there, and Randall was there, and I was there. I think Larry and Val were there, and other people that had an interest in these issues like this. And so I took that away from that meeting. But it wasn't until February of 2002, that next February, that I saw these photographs of around the Pentagon, and they just didn't show enough debris at all, no debris field from a large plane that would have been left there. So I said, "This the government's lying about this whole 9/11, you know, story." So that's when. But also, that's when Dave and Joyce got on top of this sometime after that, a few years after that. They got on, I think it was 2005 maybe, was it? Or later than that maybe. But I'd have to look that up. But they got on top and did that documentary, 9/11 in Plain Sight. So I phoned in the other day, last Monday, when they were taking callers about Joyce on GCN Network. And the Power Hour hosts were on there. And I said that the most important thing I think that Joyce and Dave did together with that 9/11 in plain you know, sight. You know what I mean? Because that really was.
Well, I don't know that that Beyond Treason is is such a strong movie that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that every recruiter in the country doesn't even want to hear the name Beyond Treason.
Right. Right. Well, that was also important too. But and there were a lot of callers that last Monday morning. It's a three-hour show, and they're carrying it on as far as I know. Isn't that what they're doing there, Randall?
Oh, yeah, and I was one of the last callers, and I didn't get in, but I wanted to get in to express my feelings. And things like that are part of healing, too, talking about even like 9/11, the tragedy, the people lost in the Pentagon. You know, all these things are a way of healing. And if you talk about things, it's kind of like an aspirin for the heart.
Right. Yeah. That,
I agree.
Yeah. What'd you say, Charlotte? What were your comment?
I agree. I said, I agree, and Beyond Treason, didn't that have the depleted uranium in it?
Yes, it did, it was a major part of it. Yeah, it was a major part of the documentary, I think.
Yeah, that's an interesting problem.
I would suggest everybody go back and watch it again and again. Watch it twice, and then show it to other people, because it is still as current as it was when it was made, and it is so super strong, and it's all truth.
Right. I have click-offs on the Secret Truth site of both of those documentaries and her speech that she gave in Houston in 1996. I've got a click-off on our site right now this evening, okay? So anybody listening to our program can go in there and to our site, thesecrettruth.com, and go in there and go to either of those documentaries and read her speech that she gave down in Houston in 1996 also.
I will go to that 1996. I've seen Well, I haven't seen in plain sight recently, but I think I might watch that again just to refresh my memory. But we watched Truth Seekers meeting last night. We watched Beyond Treason, and I recommend it to anybody and everybody who appreciates the truth, and also that has relatives that may be going into the military.
How long have you been holding those meetings, Truth Seekers, Randall Mark?
I don't know exactly how long Truth Seekers. It was after Y2K, which was 2000, so probably sometime 2001 was Truth Seekers, but since 92, it was For the People in Houston, and then, well, we came here, and I helped support Texas Best, which was also a truth-seeking type meeting that went on for about a year, and then we went to the Y2K preparedness kind of meetings that I was helping out in that, too. And then we started, after Y2K, we started the Truth Seekers, and been meeting ever since. And we used to meet once a month, and then we went to once every 2 weeks, and now we meet once a week, and we can't stay up with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I believe that.
There were, in her speech, she talked about Gulf, and this speech in 1996 in Houston, she talked about, and this is quoting her, let's talk about how we were affected on the biological side. And the name of this paragraph is Gulf War Participants Force Injected with Experimental Vaccines. Then she goes on to say, let's talk about how we were affected on the biological side. The first way was with immunizations. We were given 10 or 11 immunizations prior to going to the Gulf. We don't know everything we got. Some of us got sick afterwards. The anthrax vaccinations were given over in the Gulf, in the theater of operations, and you were forced to submit to it. If you didn't take it, you were court-martialed. People were put in a room like this, the doors were locked, and they had security guards with sidearms who stood by while people were forced to take this injection. Why? Why would they do this to people? The anthrax vaccine had not been approved and was experimental. The injection for botulism was also dangerous. All these things in combination created a problem. And that's what she was subjected to, voluntarily going back into the service on active duty to help our soldiers come out of the Gulf War. Huh?
Yeah, unbelievable.
I mean, she said it like it was. She never backed off of anything, did she, Charlotte?
Not to my knowledge, but yeah, the waterborne, they probably gave them a laundry list of immunizations that included waterborne. And that's one thing that, you know, in the Navy, they gave you a lot of immunizations as well because you traveled.
Right.
You received in special environments.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got all kinds of vaccines. I did not get anthrax.
You did.
It's not anthrax, obviously. What's the vaccine
Botulism,
called?
Botulism. Did you get that?
Cipro.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Cipro.
There's so many of them. Yeah.
Well, it's some sort of high-powered antibiotic. I don't know, wonder thing. But yeah, a lot of people took those immunizations that I'm aware of, and I watched it happen in a certain degree.
So,
and,
did you have any fellow soldiers get sick from some of those things?
I can't speak for anybody else but myself, and I'm not aware of anybody that was affected any differently than me.
Well, I went in 1963 and to the reception center at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and they gave us a lot of shots. We don't know. I don't know what they gave us. It was on a Friday. That night, almost died from those shots. It took me from Friday to Saturday to Sunday laying in bed in the barracks. I didn't even get up to eat. I was so sick. I barely made it to formation on Monday. I had a weekend, I would have been in the hospital or something. But I did recover. I guess it
wow.
was my immunization immune system that I was young. I was 18, 19 years old, see. But
the thing is, it's not being documented to the way that it needs to be.
Yeah, that.
I don't know. I don't have the answers. I just know that Joyce was an advocate for transparency and truth, and those things were important.
Right. She also said in that speech in Houston that we had given Saddam Hussein or sold him many of these biological chemical warfare agents before he started attacking, or right at the beginning of the Iraq-Iranian war. So we sourced that, is what she was saying. I mean, she sourced the evidence on this and proved it in her documentation. So we gave Saddam Hussein that those chemical and biological agents that he used back during the Persian Gulf War to shoot in and contaminate our troops, see, because of these Scud missiles. They put them in there in some kind of a cocktail form, is what I've read and talked about over there.
Yeah, that's why they knew they were there.
What's that?
Yeah, they also, Shauna said that's why they knew they were there, because they knew what was sold. And one of the things to make matters worse is they went over there and blew up Camisea, was one of the big depots of munitions, which had chemical and radiological and all kind of weapons in there, and they just blew them up. So that Iran could not get them, and so they destroyed them. And some of them
had
standard.
What's that, Charlotte?
That's standard. That's standard. That's standard operating procedures during wartime.
I see.
I mean, war's hell. It's a polluter, too. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That's what they're going to do on a battlefield. That's what they're going to do. They're going to destroy the munitions and everything they left behind.
Yeah, right.
A strategy.
Well, there,
and expect it'll happen again if we have more wars, and I hope it does not. And this is not good.
Right, right. I was on George.
I'm sorry.
I was on George Riley's program once, I think, and it was on the subject. She had picked up a paper that I wrote on Turkey. Okay, and her producer, I guess, got onto it, and she invited me onto the program. And that was quite an experience, you know, to be on her program. I think I was on 1 or 2 hours. It was more than 1 hour, I think, that we interviewed. But we talked about, we got into a lot of different, issues and so forth. But she really was a good interviewer there. And what did you think about it when Dave Van Kleist and Joyce Riley were on there together, Randall? Did you like that, the way that they went back and forth and stuff, or what?
Well, I did at the time, and then whenever Joyce started doing it by herself, I appreciated her more, I guess. And so, it was, Dave would always have a little lighter side of things, and yet, at the same time, he knows how serious it is. It's not like that. But it was kind of the two of them played it together. And so it was good together. But then again, when Joyce started doing it by herself, and she had Josh there, too, that helped out. And Josh was really good. She had an addition. So... I liked all of it. The main thing was the information.
Right. They put out just a lot of good stuff, didn't they? Huh?
Yes, absolutely.
And so the Hirsch program is still being aired on the Power Hour. And if you go into the powerhour.com, that will automatically forward it to this PowerHourNation.com. Now, what I noticed on the GCN site when I was going in there, evidently they're referring to her archives inside of the GCN network, pages. And so I like her old site where she laid out the guest. See what I mean? And you could look at and play or download those hours that you wanted, but there was a description of her guest. See what I mean? So I wish GCN would go back or start putting that in there, because GCN only has right now just a list by date of her archives, and that doesn't tell you who appeared on that particular date, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, but it's still a good program, and it's going to take time for that to grow. They're wanting, I think, more pictures on the, instead of the Power Hour, it's Power Hour Nation.
Right.
And that's a click-off on the bepowerhour.com. So it's changed up, and Joyce, I guess, wanted to do that because Daniel started with that, you know, 2 months ago or something.
Okay, so, now, Daniel, how did Daniel, when did Daniel enter into this production of the Power Hour? Just recently, or has he been there for a while? Do you know?
He's been there for a while. It's ever increasing. And then Joyce, I'd say 2 months ago, she took for the worst a little bit, and then it sounded like she was getting better, and I thought she was coming back. But Daniel had picked up the ball, and she asked him to do some of the broadcast, and then she came back and did like an hour or 2 hours, and then, but I guess I was wrong about that she was getting better. I guess that she was still in a lot of pain, so probably the last month she was, I guess, in a hospice. I'm not sure.
Right. Charlotte, where do we go from here with, you know, the work that Joyce Riley did and the work that you're doing and myself and others like the Truth Seekers? Where do you think we ought to head from here, you know, in our work and so forth?
Well, we have to understand that some of the work that's been done is timeless. Some of the work that's been done hasn't been properly addressed by our larger society yet. And some of the work that we've done will be more relevant in 5 to 10 years than it is today. Where do we go from here? We just keep hanging on for the ride. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world, but, you know, there's a lot to be to contend with.
Right. I got in touch with Bart Billings recently, and I have a little six-minute clip that I'm going to play toward the end of this hour. And But that's coming up in a few minutes. We're about 5 minutes from the end of the program. And then also, I got a clip of Dave Van Kleist singing Forever Vigilant, okay? So coming up in just about 4.5 minutes, I'm going to play about a six-minute clip of Bart Billings. And do you know who that is, Randall?
No, I don't.
He's one of our guests that we've had on the program, and he headed a combat stress, and also he was in hospital management for the Army for years. And Charlotte, what did you think about Bart Billings?
I think he's a very good person doing a very important work. Every year he holds that conference, or he's at least hosting it, and it's where the rubber meets the road. It's a very important conference.
Right. Anyway, Randall, Bart Billings, Colonel Bart Billings, he's retired now, but he was pretty active in hospital management in the Army, about 35 years in the service, came out a colonel, and then he started, during his time in the Army, he started holding these combat stress conferences to let people wind down. You know what I mean? And so, you'll hear that in just a few minutes here, and then I'll set that up, and then we'll roll that right into Dave Van Kleist's Forever Vigilant song that will end this program. But anyway, Bart Billings is a fine person. He's really dedicated, and you'll hear his response about what he thought about Joyce Riley, and he said that even though that things are getting better, you know what I mean, what Joyce's work didn't fully expose everything, but it provided an impetus to move forward, and things did get better for the veterans, according to what Bart Billings said in the short interview. Well, anyway, Randall, what are your final words about Joyce Riley?
Well, just that everybody loved her, and there's going to be a memorial service in Versailles, Missouri, where they lived up there and did the Power Hour, and that's July the 8th at 2 p.m. at, I think it's Schoenlein Moore Funeral Home at, I think, 210 East Jasper, but I would love to go, but it's, you know, it's a 14-hour, 15-hour drive. It's and to fly into Versailles is, you probably have to fly into St. Louis, Missouri, or somewhere. It'd be difficult to fly, and probably so. Anyhow, I'd love to be there, but I will be there in thought. I hope somebody streams it out of there.
Okay.
On the net, and so. We can watch, but it doesn't matter. Joyce is love, and I just appreciate what you and Charlotte are doing here on this memorial service.
Okay, well thank you, Charlotte. What would be your final closing comments about Joyce Riley?
No, what a wonderful woman to admire from afar. I wish I had her strength and her reach, and I just. I'm so blessed for having known her, and I'm glad that I got to role model some of my behavior off of hers, because she gave me courage to do things with my voice that I probably never would have done.
Right, and you and I have done about 500-600 programs ourselves over the years. So, she was a motivation for everyone around her, and she was a very serious person. And she really meant business when she concentrated. And one thing about her that I saw that I liked was when you walked up to her and engaged her in conversation, you had her attention. She was very sincere about giving her attention to the person she was speaking with at the time. Didn't you notice that, Randall, also?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I hadn't thought about that. But, yeah, she would look you right in the eye, and she... you had her attention, so you're right about that, George.
Right. Okay, well, we're getting to the close of this program, and coming up in just about 30 or 40 seconds will be Colonel Bart Billings in a short interview I pre-recorded with him. He's out on the West Coast, and then we're going to go and finish the program with a song by Dave Van Kleist, and it's Forever Vigilant, and that is so appropriate, I think, to end this memorial, program for Joyce, for Captain Joyce Riley, a wonderful person. She believed in God, and she really was there for her family, for her loved ones, and for the public, and especially for the Americans, and she cared dearly about the American vets. But thank you for listening this evening, and coming up will be that Bart Billings interview followed by Forever Vigilant, Dave Van Kleist. Thank you for listening. Good night. Welcome to The Secret Truth. We have a special program tonight in honor of Joyce Riley, a memorial program. And we have a special guest that worked on issues over the years, similar issues, and knew Joyce Riley well also, and his name is Colonel Bart Billings. Welcome to our program, Colonel Bart Billings.
Thank you. I appreciate the call.
Well, I'll tell you what, last Sunday is when Joyce Riley, she's Captain Joyce Riley, in fact, passed away, and we all loved her very much, and she was really dedicated to veteran issues and patriot issues. What were some of your memories of Joyce Riley, Colonel?
Well, the concern for the well-being of veterans and the operation and treatment that they're receiving at the VA and how to improve it.
I know over the years, you spent how long on the within the VA system?
I never worked in the VA system. I spent 34 years in the Army, active and reserve.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah.
But your experience was in what, counseling and so forth?
Actually, I got drafted during the Vietnam War, and I was a combat engineer, and then I got a commission and became Medical Service Corps. So I did everything from blowing buildings up to running hospitals.
Oh.
And I was a hospital commanding officer, special projects officer. That's how I started the International Combat Stress Conference that she was so interested in, as a result of my hospital being deployed during the first Persian Gulf War.
Right. She got into a lot of that Persian Gulf War syndrome, and she was really a very firebrand against the government's version of it. What were sort of some of your comments about some of her work and what you thought about that?
Well, you know, it boils down to lack of treatment and using that as an excuse for providing psychiatric medications instead of appropriate treatment, you know, in terms of integrative treatment. So, you know, people get misdiagnosed all the time. I think that was a concern. And to do proper diagnostics with people that are veterans that served in the Persian Gulf. Also, people who really were exposed to toxins during the Persian Gulf War should have received recognition for what they had and an appropriate treatment sooner.
What is the status today of people that were, say, exposed to toxic type of biological chemical weapons during the Persian Gulf? What is the status today of any veteran care or and so forth for those vets? What is that?
Well, I think the status has improved. I think they're being seen, they're being recognized, and they're being treated. So it's better now than it's ever been. And that even goes all the way back to Vietnam, Agent Orange.
Right. Now, you've testified about psychotropic type of medicines and so forth over the years. Is that correct?
Yeah, I actually convinced Congress to hold hearings in 2010 to look at the relationship between psychiatric medications and suicide in the military. And just recently, over the past few years, I've worked with the Veterans Committee, Veterans Affairs Committee in Congress to examine the relationship between psychiatric meds and suicide in the VA system as well. So I've been working on it for a long time, and finally John McCain has put through a bill which will address that issue, and if it passes, which it's getting a lot of support, actually, what will happen is veterans who are seen will be explained to them the adverse effects of any psychiatric medications that they're offering to prescribe, as well as alternative treatments instead of these brain-altering drugs.
Right.
So that's an important bill.
Right. Well, that's a very, very good improvement over what we had in the past. And what would be some of your final comments on Joyce Riley and her work overall and her, you know, dedication to the vets? What would you say about Joyce Riley?
Well, I think she made a great contribution to everything that's moving forward now and the improvements that are happening both in the VA system and as well as in the government and Congress as well as the Senate. There's all kinds of things happening, and people like her and people that she's worked with have made a big difference in the improvements of the services that we're going to see now and shortly in the future because of some of these bills that are going through. Without people like her around, these things probably wouldn't have been moved forward as they have.
Well, she had a lot of get up and go, and she didn't give up about wanting to help the vets, and that was probably one of her shining lights. Well, Colonel Barr,
that's the key.
Right. Colonel Barr Billings, thank you this evening for some of those comments, And we certainly appreciate you coming on the program. And this is all about Joyce Riley and what she did to try to help the vets. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye now.
Ago, our families came from far away to build a better future and to find a better way. At first it wasn't easy. There were times they had to fight, one by land or two by sea, the lanterns in the night. They pledged their sacred honor and established liberty, and they wrote the Constitution for their posterity. To tyrants they were terrorists, and they were called the enemy. But these patriotic rebels pledged their lives so we'd be free. Don't let it slip away, the framers tried to warn us. Forever vigilant is what we have to be. Be on your guard, protect your Constitution, or your republic will become a tyranny. And as this country prospered, there were those who couldn't stand to see the common people as the rulers of their land. A small cabal of rich men then meticulously planned regaining their control with an economic hand. For many generations and through the countless years, their money paid for influence and their tactics played on fears. Until each politician, corporate leader, CEO understood they had to play along or say they didn't know. Don't let it slip away, the framers tried to warn us. Forever vigilant is what we have to be. Be on your guard, defend your Constitution, or your republic will succumb to tyranny. There are those who don't believe this evil story could be true, but if you look and think, you'll see just what they've done to you. A third of all your labor, every year they tax away, and how they spend your money, you don't have a right to say. Our country now's awakened, and our eyes are open wide. We see how they deceived us, and we know just how they lied. It's time for restoration. Yes, it's time to do what's right. And although we may not want to, if we have to, we will fight. Because we understand just why the framers warned us. Forever vigilant is what we now must be. And we're prepared to defend our Constitution. Armed with the truth, we'll defeat this tyranny. We will not fail, and we'll march to victory. Yes, we will stand, and together we will be free. Came from far away to build a better future and to find a better way. At first it wasn't easy. There were times they had to fight,
one by land or two by sea, the legends in the night. They pledged their sacred honor and established liberty, and they wrote the Constitution for their posterity. To tyrants they were terrorists.